You guys did well. A little toe tapping. A little toe tapping. Happy Father's Day to everyone out there. A Native American grandfather was walking with his 9-year-old grandson. And he told this story about to his grandson. Because the grandson had not made good choices. And he said, "Son, there are two wolves in each of us. One wolf, there is greed and anger and hate and lust and all the things of darkness. And the other wolf, there is love and charity and kindness and goodness. They're in each and every one of us." And the young boy says, "Grandfather, which wolf will win?" And the grandfather looked at the young boy and said, "Whichever wolf you feed." It's lessons like that that our fathers teach us over time that makes fathers so very special. Amen. Today we continue in our series of Fixer Uppers. Today we look at the topic of repair. And we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. And I'm using the New Living Translation. And I invite you to think about the wolves as we go to these very important words. "You're coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for greater honor. And you're living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who have trusted him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others to the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us.
Thanks be to God."
Now I invite you, if you will, to pray with me this prayer of illumination as we say together, "Almighty God, we know ourselves only in relation to you. You lead, we follow. You call, we respond. You have called us from darkness to light. You have a purpose, and you have chosen each of us and all of us to declare your praises, to tell of your mighty deeds. Because of who you are and what you've done, and because of who we are and what's been done for us, we respond to you in answering faith. Help us to remember who we are, chosen, royal, holy, spoken for. You are our God, and we are your people. Amen. There will be disruption. That is a fact of life, is it not? You live much longer, you know that there will always be disruption in our lives. That is part of the process. Last week, we talked about demolition. We talked about how we have got to look honestly in the mirror and stop believing those three great lies. Do you remember them? You are not what you own. You are not what you do. You are not what people say or think that you are. And when you begin to embrace that those are lies, that those are lies that are not your identity, there will be disruption. When you jettison those lies and begin to embrace that your identity is that you are the image of God that was placed in you at your birth, and you begin to live into that image, there will be disruption. Because people around you will begin to wonder who you be. They'll begin to wonder what has changed in you. And you'll begin to get a little afraid because you don't know who you are. But those are the great lies. The great lies that have been told throughout the ages. The great lies that the powers and principalities want you to believe. As we begin to accept our true selves and our true identity, there will be holy disruption. And that's good. Because we cannot begin to repair or accept the repairing that God wants to do within us until we have this holy disruption. And that is scary, my friends. Very, very scary. And I'm pleading with you to just hold on. Stay steady. Trust the God of holy disruption. For God has been taking chaos and creating order since the beginning of time. God has been taking darkness and creating light since the beginning of time. You can trust this God in the midst of disruption because this is the God of order and light and love. You ever been through a disruption in your life? I have. You ever been to a dark place in your life and found God there? I have. You ever been at the end of your rope and found a knot tied there for you? Do you know who tied that knot? It was God. I have. There will be disruption, but you won't be in that place by yourself because God is already there waiting for you, waiting to lead you out of that disruption. Amen? Okay? So hang on, hang tight, hang up, do whatever you got to do in the midst of disruption because God is there. Now, the first thing that we got to do in order to repair is we got to look for a foundation. Ever been to a house whose foundation is crumbling? Ever try to build a good house on a bad foundation? What's going to happen? No matter what you do to make that bad foundation look pretty, unless you make a good foundation, the house is going to crumble, right? I believe Jesus told a story about some foundations, did he not? About building a house on a rock and building a house on the sand. We got to build our house on good foundation. Scripture says, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor. And he was talking about placing a good foundation. What he's talking about there is our first foundation we've got to do is place it on the right relationship. And so many times, we place our relationships, or we choose the wrong relationship for foundation. I've done it in my own life. Thought this relationship was going to be the relationship. And I woke up several years later, and it was not the relationship. It was not the relationship I thought it was going to be. It was a relationship, but it was not the right one. The one we need to be building our relationship on is in Jesus Christ. For it was the relationship of salvation and redemption. But how do we do that? How do we get our relationship true? How do we get our relationship that is a cornerstone? Well, last week we talked about those prayers, remember? We talked about the meditation. We talked about the prayer of examine. But we got to go beyond that. We got to read about it. Daily Bible study. If you don't have a daily plan of Bible study, and I don't mean just open it up and say, ooh, there's a verse. Thank you, Lord. Move on. I mean, you got to study it. Maybe if you haven't got one going on, maybe use the upper room. Maybe just use that. There are two books that I've used for years. One is called This Day, a Wesleyan Way of Prayer by Lawrence Stuckey. In this little book, it's just daily here. It will guide you through how to set up a Bible study. It'll talk about a prayer. It'll give you a centering moment, a prayer of illumination. It'll walk you through the lectionary. Okay? You can do it on your own. It takes about 15 or 20 minutes every day. Another one that I used early on is a guide to prayer. This is put up by the Upper Room Ministries. Same kind of thing. If you need help for structure, I'm one of those people. I need structure. It'll help you set up your time of prayer for that or your time of Bible study. There's all kinds of books out there that'll help you structure your Bible study. You don't have to go through it by yourself. I'll leave these around if you want to look at these. You can come talk with me. I have a book addiction. You know, I'm one of those people that Amazon and I are real good friends. I need a 12-step program for my book addiction. Seriously. Come look through my office. I'll show you what I've got there. I'll be glad to help you with that. We have a library here that has wonderful Bible study tools for you. You can just come check them out. Come talk with KC. She has the same addiction I do. Seminary doesn't help with that. We'll be glad to show you ways in which you can start a personal daily time of Bible study. Okay? Something small to start with that will grow into that. Sign up for our class meetings. You will get plenty of Bible study through that, I promise. There's online classes as well. There's daily devotions that you can get that are out there. But start something every day. There's no way to substitute for a daily walk through the Bible that delay that foundation. Another thing that we've got to look at when you're repairing a house, you got to look at the systems. What is the airflow? What is the airflow that's going on in a house? If the HVAC system isn't in good repair, the air in the house is not good. If there's not a proper heating and cooling system, then that has to be changed. And when the scripture says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, you are a royal priest, a holy nation. And it goes on and says, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You got to learn to breathe. Got to learn to breathe in the ruach of God. You got to take time to allow the breath of God to come in. To do that, we need solitude. We need to find time in our lives in which we can let the breath of God come over us. How many of us have time in our week in which we're just alone, where we can breathe? Where we can find that place in which we're alone with God. I'm going to challenge you this week to find that place. Maybe it's a walk out in nature. Maybe it's sitting on your back porch or your front porch. Maybe it's sitting in a room in your house where you're just alone. You've turned off your cell phone. I know a lot of you just went into panic mode. Or put the cell phone somewhere else. For 30 minutes. You're just quiet. You're in solitude. Where you can take those long, deep breaths. Where you can see the beauty of God's handiwork. Where you can just be alone. where you can just let God be God and you can breathe. There's something about solitude where the breath of God can come over you that is holy and sacred, where you can unwind and unplug and detach, and God's voice can be heard. I just challenge you, if you would please, do that. And then let me know what it was like for you. Walking outside where you can hear the birds, or sit by a stream, or sit on a boat dock. Be amazing what happens. I just challenge you to do that. Allow the Ruach, that breath of God, in which God's creative activity began, that moment in which time began, can pour over you, so that the systems in your life can have clean air. And also, when you're repairing a house, you have to look at its plumbing. The plumbing isn't good, the water systems aren't there, then the house is needing reconstruction. And we read on the very last verse, once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you had received no mercy, now you've received God's mercy. We are known by our baptism. The waters of baptism cover us and God claims us. That is our identity. Do you think about your baptism? Do you ever just think about what that means? That God has claimed you? That God has marked you? And that mark cannot be taken away from you. There is nothing in this world that can take that away from you. Nothing that man can do, nothing that you can do that will ever stop God from loving you, that will ever erase that mark. So as an act of remembrance, I'm going to invite you this week to sit down with someone and share maybe a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, and just listen to their story. Just listen to them. Just listen so that you may hear who they are. And as you're listening deeply, you're not thinking about your response. You're just listening. Because you are the bearer of God's image, and you're seeking to see God in them. And when you're finished, I invite you to pray either with them or for them, whatever makes you comfortable, that they too have a story. Easy enough? Take someone out for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and hear their story. So this week, you're going to find some time to begin or enhance your Bible reading. You're going to find some time for solitude, and you're going to have a cup of tea or coffee as a way of beginning to repair. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.